Mike White falls back to earth, and the Jets defense turns into no-show. This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, November 15th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you so much for making this show your first listen each day. Today we are going to recap an ugly loss for the New York Jets to the Buffalo Bills, ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You know, you try and be positive, you try and be optimistic, you believe in the Mike White magic continuing, you pick the Jets in the game preview show, and this is what you get. The Bills dominated the Jets yesterday, 45-17. In a game where the final score was every bit as indicative as the extent to which Buffalo dominated. The Jets fall to 2-7 on the 2021 season. It was ugly from the opening kickoff. On the opening kickoff, Tevin Coleman had a 33-yard return, but it got wiped out because of a holding penalty on Braxton Berrios. So the Jets began the game with a penalty, and it kind of told the story of the game. The Jets' offense in the first quarter of games this season had been totally inept prior to Mike White taking over as the starting quarterback, and it went back to being inept yesterday. They went three and out very quickly, and Buffalo went right down the field in five plays, capped by a Josh Allen 15-yard touchdown pass. I still have no idea what Jared Davis was doing in coverage on that play. He ran into another receiver, not the guy he was covering. He had a clear path to avoid him, and it looked like Ashton Davis got lost a little bit to me. It was a bad day for players named Davis in a Jets uniform yesterday. We'll talk about another Davis in a little while. So less than 3 minutes into the game, Buffalo had the lead 7-0, and they never relinquished it. On the next series, White threw an interception. Now, it was not necessarily his fault he was hit as he threw it, but earlier in the game, he had gotten away with a dropped interception. He threw one that should have been intercepted, and I guess these things kind of even out. Now, from this point, the Bills made a couple of errors that kept the Jets in the game. Buffalo was in business after the interception. They had the ball on the Jets' 43-yard line, and they got it to the 10. And on a 3rd-and-7 play, Josh Allen hits Stephon Diggs in the hands with a pass, beats Brandon Echols, and Diggs just does not come up with it. So it should have been 14-0. Buffalo has to settle for a field goal. The next series, the Jets again commit a penalty that pretty much ends the drive. On first down, Ryan Griffin gets flagged for holding. So they can't really do anything. They punt. Buffalo has a big return. They have a 26-yard return. So they take over on the Jets' 40-yard line. And three plays later, it's 3rd-and-1 from the 31. Josh Allen totally fools the Jets on the bootleg. Runs for 17 yards, but it gets called back on a holding penalty, which was a holding penalty, but it really had nothing to do with the play. Allen runs for 17 yards if there's no hold there. It really had nothing to do to impact the play. So the Jets catch a break there, and on the next play, Shaq Lawson and Quinnen Williams split a sack. So the Bills were rolling their first three drives. If not for a couple of errors, it could have been 21-0 by the end of the first quarter. Instead, it's 10-0. The Jets are very much in the game, and they actually overcome a penalty. There's another penalty on the next drive. George Fant gets called for holding on a first down play. On the next three plays, they gained 19 yards to set up a 4th-and-1. And it was set up on a 3rd-and-5 play. White hit Elijah Moore, the left flat, for 4 yards. So 4th-and-1. Now, you know the play you're going to run 4th-and-1, or you should know the play you're going to run 4th-and-1 heading into the game. You know your best play for a short yardage situation. There should be no question about it. This is not like 2nd-and-5, a situation you face over and over in a game, and you have to figure out which play you want to run. This is a critical down, a short yardage down. You know what your best play is. You figured that out in the game plan. For whatever reason, though, the Jets don't get the call in quickly. And you need to. You should. Because first of all, if you get the call in quickly, you get up to the line immediately. And the defense may not be set. And no matter what you call, Mike White may just see an opening and decide to quarterback sneak it and pick up the first down. It's 4th-and-1. However, they take forever to get the play call in. Again, I can't explain it. They should know the play call that they're going to make. But beyond that, everybody loses track of the play clock and the Jets take a delay of game. I mean, you can't do that. Come on. I mean, if you can't get the play call in, and by the way, there's no excuse for not getting the play call in. This was a critical down. You know, it's 10-0. The Bills have made some mistakes to keep you in the game. and you just lose track of everything. You lose track of that's on Salah, that's on LaFleur, it's on Mike White. The Jets have to punt. Unbelievable. And by the way, on the delay of game penalty, Mike White takes a little bit of a hit even on a dead ball situation, which maybe could have been called a flag. You know, there may have been a flag there. And there, that happened a couple times during the game. But you know what? I can't get upset. I cannot blame the officials for the Jets' inability to execute, to even get a fourth and one snap off. And the Jets pin Buffalo on the four-yard line. However, the Jets allow Buffalo to flip the field position. They get a couple first downs. Then the Jets' offense finally gets rolling a little bit. And they get the ball. They drive the ball into field goal range. And on a third down play, the Jets catch maybe a little bit of a break. I don't think it was a huge break. White lost the ball after being hit. Originally, it was ruled a fumble, which typically you want the officials to rule a call a fumble. Because it's easy to, if the call is wrong, it's much easier to change a fumble into an incomplete pass than vice versa. I think the correct call was made. I don't want to say the Jets caught a huge break there, but I think it was a little bit of a break. It was ruled an incomplete pass instead of a fumble that Buffalo recovered. Matt Amendola hit a field goal with a little bit under 2 minutes left in the first half, and it was 10-3. And the sequence that followed this essentially put the game out of reach for the Jets. Because at 10-3, Jets defense needs to get a stop. If they do, all right, you did not play a great first half, but you go into the locker room down a score. Unfortunately, the Jets allow Buffalo to go down the field in 5 plays. Buffalo scored a touchdown to go up 17-3. The sequence that led to this touchdown was really kind of incomprehensible. Brandon Echols had to leave the game with an injury. Javelin Guidry, the backup, had to come in. Now, let me ask you a question. You're not an NFL coach, but you can probably figure this out. Backup corner comes in. What do you think Buffalo does? You're right. They attack him. They go right after him with their best receiver, Stephon Diggs. And the Jets actually get away with it the first time. Allen and Diggs are not able to connect for a touchdown, even though Diggs had room. Diggs got separation. Very next play, they go back to it. Jets leave Guidry on Diggs one-on-one again. Tough to believe. So it's 17-3. The Jets get the ball back with under a minute. And Mike White hits a big pass to Corey Davis for 28 yards to get the Jets into field goal range. But Davis fumbles. He fumbles the ball away. Jets at least would have had a shot at a field goal to go into the locker room down 17-6. Instead, it's 17-3. And to begin the second half, Buffalo goes right down the field again. They hit another pass, Diggs versus Echols one-on-one for 23 yards. And then the Jets just can't figure out how to deal with a wide receiver run on jet sweep motion. Emmanuel Sanders broke a 24-yard run. And then Isaiah McKenzie ran for 8 yards. Back-to-back plays where you either saw an end-around or some sort of jet sweep motion where you have a receiver getting an outside run. Jets have no idea how to maintain integrity on defense. It just unravels from that point. White throws interceptions on the next 3 drives. Buffalo scores touchdowns on their next 2 drives. Teams trade a couple touchdowns, and the final score is Buffalo 45, Jets 17. The entire second half, essentially after that Buffalo touchdown, was garbage time. And the game was really decided in that sequence late in the first half and early in the second half. The game went from Jets down 10-3 to Jets down 24-3. And in this span of plays, the Jets had 4 offensive snaps. One of which was the Davis fumble. So just an ugly sequence. Buffalo essentially pulled what I called the Brady, where they scored on the last drive of the first half, got the ball back in the second half, and scored again. And that was pretty much it for the Jets in this game. Now ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we will talk about everything that went wrong in this game. But before we get to that, let's talk about DirecTV Stream. I'm sure you were very frustrated watching the game yesterday. And if you were smart, maybe you had a second game on another TV, maybe a third game where you're checking your fantasy team on a streaming device. Well, if this sounds familiar, then I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites like never before, so you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Thanks again for making Locked On Jets your first listen each day. Today we are recapping a 45-17 loss. That was the score by which the Bills beat the Jets yesterday at MetLife Stadium. The Jets' record falls to 2-7 on the 2021 season. And I think we can say that the clock has officially struck midnight for Mike White. It was fun while it lasted. I was hoping it would last a little bit longer. You heard about some of my optimism if you listened to the preview show on Friday, and you'll probably get a good laugh out of it now, considering how optimistic I was heading into this game. But it was ugly for Mike White. I had talked over the last couple of weeks about the big question for Mike White. Could he stretch the field? As good as that game was against Cincinnati, he did not have to throw deep in that game. And ultimately in the NFL, you have to test the entire field. And the answer was a pretty definitive no. Against the Bengals, when he threw for 405 yards, he did not attempt a single pass that traveled more than 15 yards in the air. He threw four passes that traveled more than 20 yards in the air yesterday, 0 for 4 with two interceptions. And I talked in the first segment how things kind of got away from him in the second half of the game. After things got out of hand, he threw interceptions on three consecutive series, but it was an ugly performance overall. You know, if you were watching this game around halftime, they went back to the CBS studio, and the analysts were all talking about, wow, the Jets are really moving the ball. And I was like, what are you talking about? The Jets' offense was awful in the first half. And I don't want to get on White too hard, because I think we all knew that this was eventually coming. We just did not know when it was going to be. I think we all hoped that maybe it would last a little bit longer. And I think it was the right move to put White in the starting lineup this week, because if Zach Wilson plays in this game, he's probably not going to play very well against this Buffalo defense. And then you have all the questions. Everybody is saying, well, White's played so well. How did you bench him for Zach Wilson, who's playing so poorly? Now we kind of have an easy way to go back to Zach Wilson for next week, and it's against an easier opponent. So I think it was the right move putting White in there. And who knows? You know, if White had played well, maybe he'd have something, even though none of us were really expecting it. You know, it was ugly. There's nothing else you can say. This was the guy I was expecting to see against Cincinnati. This was the guy I saw in preseason where he was really struggling. I mean, anything White throws beyond 5 yards down the field seems very labored. The thing I can't figure out with White is if you go back and watch his college footage, it looks like he has a pretty good arm on him. You know, he's a former baseball player, but his ball just floats. I don't know what's happened to him. I have not done like a comprehensive mechanical breakdown. It's just weird to me because he just doesn't have any arm anymore. And it just wasn't very good. But listen, Mike White exceeded my expectations by the way he played against Cincinnati and Indianapolis. I don't want to get on him too hard. He's a backup quarterback playing against a really good defense. Of all the people I'm upset with in this game, Mike White ranks very low. You can't expect much more from him. The offensive line, again, not very good for the Jets. That's frustrating. Corey Davis, big fumble. I mean, I don't know that it really changes the game if he doesn't fumble. The Jets get a field goal before the half. I mean, it's 17-6 again instead of 17-3. How much of a difference does that really make? I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because the defense was just dreadful. Once again, the defense was dreadful. This defense has gotten worse as the season has progressed. Since the bye week, the Jets are allowing an average of 45 points a game. Buffalo scored 45 points yesterday, and they just cannot get a stop. And the thing that really bothers me, you know, Robert Saleh, when you watch these games, the announcers will say, well, the Jets are running a very simple defense because they have young players. They want them to know where they're supposed to be at all situations. They want to keep it simple for these guys. How many times these guys just have no idea where to be? Very frustrating. The Bills pretty much did whatever they wanted to do in this game. And I mentioned this. This game could have been 21-0 in the first quarter, if not for some Buffalo mistakes. It wasn't really anything the Jets' defense did. It was just the Bills kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. Ultimately, Josh Allen, 21 for 38, 366 yards and two touchdowns. And there was an interception, but that was also in garbage time. Buffalo averaged 9 yards per play in this game. That's awful. 5.8 yards per rushing attempt. You can't win playing like that. Not to mention 11.7 yards per pass. it just doesn't get it done. The defensive line has disappeared. They were dominated yesterday. I don't know what's happened to this defensive line. It's supposed to be the strength of the roster. It's supposed to cover for the other deficiencies across the roster. It's just not happening. And Jared Davis, guy the Jets got as a reclamation project, not very good. I mentioned how he was beaten for the first touchdown, and there was another touchdown where he did not get an angle on a run that he could have stopped, I thought. And you know, the thing that makes no sense to me, I was thinking this through. When Mike Maccagnan was the Jets' general manager, he was obsessed with linebackers. He drafted Darren Lee in the first round. He gave big money deals to C.J. Mosley and Avery Williamson. Even his first year as Jets GM gave David Harris a surprisingly expensive deal. Tried to sign Anthony Barr. And at the time, you know, Todd Bowles, Greg Williams, Jets weren't really running a defense that required linebackers to be great. I mean, they plugged in Neville Hewitt after injuries a couple of those years and were more or less okay. Now the Jets are running a defense where linebacker is really important, and you have a bunch of reclamation projects like Jared Davis, or you just have guys who are projects in general, like late round, you know, the late round guys that they drafted and converted from safety. You know, I don't understand what the Jets did at the linebacker position. You know, I gave them the benefit of the doubt in the offseason when they brought in Davis because there were other teams that were interested. You got to wonder why. Jared Davis was not good in this game. Listen, we know the issues the Jets have at safety. Ashton Davis, again, missing some plays. I mean, there were some plays to be made for him where he just was nowhere to be found. Other than that, the Jets are playing safeties who, frankly, don't belong in starting roles in the NFL, and that's because Marcus May and LaMarcus Joyner are hurt. But and you know the issues at corner. We talked about Echols, who was not playing very well himself, leaving the game, and Javelin Guidry being exposed against Diggs. I go back to the defensive line, though, and to a lesser extent, the linebackers. I mean, this is supposed to be the strength of the team. They were pushed around in this game. It's just not going to work. And the Jets aren't getting stops against anybody. And ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast, I'm going to talk about this idea about the Jets rebuilding. We're going to get into some of that. But before we get to that, you have earned a treat after watching that dismal performance yesterday. And if you haven't tried a Built Bar yet by now, you're missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are not very good, but a Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you were eating a candy bar. These bars are low-carb, low-calorie, low-fat, low-sugar, and high in protein, so all the healthy benefits on top of being purely delicious, and there are so many flavors. Coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, cherry barcia. I gotta tell you, these are really good bars. They really do taste like candy bars. You'd be surprised to know that you're eating a protein bar. And best yet, this month, Built is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, it's one word with no space, LOCKED, number one, number five, for 15% off at Built, BUILT.com. Now, I hope you did not bet any money on the Jets yesterday, but BetOnline does remain your number one spot for all the football action this season and the basketball action. They're back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. That's one word with no space, LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. The day after the Buffalo Bills beat the New York Jets 45-17 at MetLife Stadium, the Jets fall to 2-7 on the 2021 season. I got to be honest with you, I'm very disturbed about the direction of the New York Jets right now. You look at this from all angles and you try and find some signs of positivity, something you can say, all right, that's a sign things are moving in the right direction, and I got nothing at this point. You know, heading into this game, I could say, okay, the Jets have been a good home team this year. 2-1 at home, 2 wins over quality opponents. The only loss was a game where they played well for the most part outside of Zach Wilson, but that's gone. And the thing that bothers me is we've talked about how this season is all about progress. Now, progress in some ways is determined by wins and losses, but not entirely, especially for a team in a rebuilding mode like the Jets. But here's the thing. Things are getting worse as the season goes on. In four games since the bye week, the Jets have been blown out three times. They have not even been competitive. And beyond that, in two of those four games, they had extra time to prepare. Obviously, the game coming out of the bye against New England. And then yesterday, because they played Thursday night last week, they had three extra days to prepare for this game. So with extra time, they get even worse. The defense seems to be regressing. You know, if you're talking about progress, things have to be getting better as time continues. And you look at how unprepared the coaching staff looks in so many situations. And I mentioned them. The fourth down play. It's not a second and five in the first quarter. This is a play you should already know what you're calling. And going into the game, you should say, all right, if we get into a fourth and short where we really need a yard, this is what we're calling. We already know it. And they're totally unprepared. And I go back to Guidry, leaving him one-on-one against Diggs. Now listen, you know, I think you can overdo it. There was plenty of talk in the week leading up to the game about how you should play cover two against Buffalo, and the Jets are a cover three defense. Listen, I don't think that's the difference in the game. And part of the reason that I don't think that's the difference in the game is that a cover two defense is very weak against the run, because you're essentially putting an extra safety deep. You're taking a safety out of run support and putting him deep. And the Jets were horrible in the run against the run in this game. There are personnel issues. There's no question about it. This is not a team that's super talented right now. It's still a team very much in the beginning of its rebuilding phase. But that's not a blanket excuse for everything. That's not a blanket excuse for getting worse as the season progresses. I talked about this going into the season, and I was very easy on the Jets the first couple of weeks because I understood this could be a slow start, but you want to see progress as the season continues. And we're not seeing progress right now. We're seeing the team regress. We're seeing the team getting worse. Fine, I understand they're not that talented, but you know what? This is a divisional opponent at home. A divisional opponent that made mistakes early in the game that could have kept you in it. A divisional opponent a week after you were thoroughly embarrassed. A divisional opponent you had extra time to prepare for. Divisional opponent after you have been blown out two of the last 3 weeks. I just don't get it. I mean, it's ugly. You can't play like this. You can't consistently get blown out like this. You want to see competitiveness. You want to see professionalism. You want to see guys know where they're supposed to be. You don't want to see them. You want to see guys who understand how to read their keys on defense. You want to see players working together. You're not seeing any of that. If anything, this defense looks less cohesive than it was at the beginning of the season. And I understand, you know, you're missing some key parts like Marcus May. But there's no excuse for this. We're not talking about rebuilding mode. We're not talking about getting blown out once. We're talking about allowing 45 points per game since the bye week. That's unacceptable. Listen, I understand backup quarterback. I understand. Listen, the Jets, a team in the beginning of a rebuild, can afford to lose key players less than any other sort of team because you don't have the depth to withstand losing key players. And the Jets have lost plenty of key players. I get that. It's not an excuse for everything. It's not an excuse for consistently not being competitive. Every team in the NFL has players good enough to be competitive. They may not have players good enough to win consistently, but if you are constantly getting blown out, that's a bad sign for your team. It's a bad sign for your coaching staff. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that more this week. We are not in a good spot right now, and things need to get better. Now, the only good thing for the Jets is that this is the point where the schedule is going to begin to get a little bit easier. Over the next six games, New Orleans is the only team I'd even say is decent. You know, you get Miami twice, you get Houston, you get Philadelphia, you get Jacksonville. So there are some winnable games ahead. But the Jets play like this. They may not get blown out 45-17, but those teams have NFL players too. And if the Jets play like this, they won't beat those teams. But we'll talk about that more in the days ahead. That's all for today's show. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it, and please leave it a 5-star review. I hope you have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.